Will I ever be the same again?
Miranda wore flannel nightwear with her parka over it and heavy long socks. She had her high-altitude sleeping bag drawn right over her head and expected to fall immediately to sleep after the day's ordeal. Yet the luxury was withheld for a time. Her mental review kept her awake more than physical complaints of hard ground beneath her, the unforgiving cold, chafed shoulders from her pack's weight, and an accumulation of strained muscles. The team had reached the ridge pass well before nightfall. To a person, each member was mute as they topped the barrier of rock. Before them was a vast prospect, ending at the skyline of glacier-studded Andean peaks, which they had viewed from outlooks en route to Chalet. Obscuring the base of those peaks, ranging outward from below the ridge they stood on, loomed a wilderness of steep gorges that appeared impossible to descend. Miranda then understood why it was said there would be no villages where they headed, although Peru's network of roads connected villages throughout the country, even in improbable high reaches. In the long moment of astonishment, she glanced at Margot. Miranda's arms prickled even in the blaze of lowering sun. The explorer's stunned expression was graphic. Margot had heard. She had seen photographs. She had described this as if she knew it. Yet there was nothing that measured for her the colossal challenge they faced there in the heart of Peruvian Sierra. The men had found their voices. They spoke together in Quechua, interspersed with Spanish, pointing out various plateaus atop formations that drop into gorges, hiding in their deep shadows only what one's imagination might concoct. Margot translated a few words she was able to pick up, saying that some of the drops were over 6,000 feet. Saul and Piro had been there before and had returned to tell of their journey into places beyond belief. At last, Margot led them back to a nearby declivity close to the ridgetop, where they proceeded to set camp. It was good that the burros had earlier fed well near the valley stream, for there were only rare clumps of dry grass for them. Vicente gave them a snack from what he'd gleaned near the stream and bundled onto their packs for dinner. As for the team members, theirs was a simple meal of hot oatmeal and herbed tea. Their tents were huddled together in the high barren bowl, the only possible place where they could pass the night as a group. Miranda heard men's snores and burros snort nearby. Still, though her body cried out from fatigue, she couldn't sleep. Her thoughts kept returning to the sight from the ridge above them, alternating with what she had sought with the carefully rationed use of her mini flashlight right after their meal. Ever since reading in As It Is the previous day, echoes continued to drift around the pauses between her thoughts. At last, she'd settled on the reason for this. While helping to prepare for their shivery night, Miranda had rummaged inside her sleeping tent long enough to locate the pack of cards and notes she had removed from her valise in Cusco and tucked into a pouch. She'd unfolded two pages of quotations found during the first semester of her senior year's studies. A synopsis of Dr. Will Keepin's article, Life Work of David Boehm. At last, she identified the rousing interplay between the teachings of Tulku Urgyen Rinpoche, a realized master in Buddhist philosophy, and Boehm's findings. His 55 years of work in physics broke through barriers erected by mainstream physics, which utilized the prevailing mechanistic order. One interviewer was quoted as saying, David Bohm seemed imbued with the feeling that whatever lies behind nature is holy. The slender ray from her light had illuminated the portions of quotes Miranda sought. Indeed, what we call matter is merely an apparent manifestation of the explicate order of the holo movement. This explicate order is the surface appearance of a much greater enfolded or implicate order, most of which is hidden. The implicate order is the fundamental and primary reality, albeit invisible. Meanwhile, the explicate order, the vast physical universe we experience, is but a set of ripples on the surface of the implicate order. The manifest objects that we regard as comprising ordinary reality are only the unfolded projections of the much deeper, higher dimensional, implicate order, which is the fundamental reality. Bohm proposed that above and beyond the implicate order, there is also a super-implicate order. Bohm reached his final and deepest interpretation of the solution of the Schrödinger equation for a particle. He had begun in his youth with the Copenhagen interpretation, in which the particle does not exist, which he had always found unsatisfactory. Then, in his initial formulation of the implicate order, he supposed that the particle does exist, more or less as an ordinary particle, but that it behaves in a strange manner because it receives information through the quantum